rambling towards the Atlantic Ocean in a motor car. That's what I'm doing now, and that's, you know, I must admit that it wasn't a ramble that led up to that title. It was what I felt like doing after just telling somebody via the Anchor app that I too was interested in Syria, and was he interested in creating or both fostering a community around Syria. So why am I interested in Syria? Oh, I don't know really. I've been up the Golan Heights. I've seen what it's like to look down over Galilee, look into Israel from the top of the Golan Heights, and I saw the place where Syrians occupied up until the 1967 war, as it's called. So I suppose that's where my interest in Syria... No, it isn't where my interest in Syria. I was interested in Syria because it's an ancient civilization. Because the Assyrians came down like a wolf on the fold, and their cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold. Now, who on earth is that from? I can't remember. I'll probably remember it when I stop rambling. But the Assyrians, now maybe the Assyrians and the modern day Syrians have nothing in common, but that whole idea of peoples prior to, let's just say prior to the Bible, right? That, 'cause that's a handy cutoff point. But going way back beyond the Bible, right? Back, let's say even back, well, certainly back to the time of the pharaohs. I'm terribly interested in what happened in between the first pharaoh and the last pharaoh. Tutankhamun's tomb and the Valley of the Queens and... what is it? What on earth was her name? Oh, damn it, I had an easy way to remember the name of it. Hatshepsut, that's wrong. Anyway, I thought I had a Hatshepsut and something else. Anyway, never mind. It's pouring rain outside. The rain is... Well, it's not as heavy as it could be. It's kind of... I'm having to turn on the windscreen wipers every 2 minutes. Dublin is 217 kilometres, but Dublin isn't on the Atlantic. And I'm heading in the direction of my spiritual home. I always call... It came on slowly, but I call Lahinch, which is just down the road from Ennis Diamond, which is just down the road from Ennis, which is just up the road from Limerick, which is just up the road from Cork, because I'm going up to Limerick, just the way I used to go up to Dublin. I think everyone goes up to Dublin because it's such a pedestal city. But anyway, I'm heading in that direction. I'm going to stop off in Ennis, where I'm meeting my great friend, the poet Patrick Stack. He's a much better poet than me, but it takes him ages to write a single line. So the poor man will be, he'll have gone into oblivion before he's completed his, I think his, well, certainly his first collection is out. Yeah. Anyway, he's a fantastic, you know, careful. He's a revolutionary too. He's a revolutionary poet, and one of his best poems is called Revolution, and he loves to read that. I don't think he can do it from heart. And he read it recently in Ennis, where on some day, Culture Night, I think it was, Culture Night, he about a group of them who were poets went on a poetry walk in Ennis. And by the way, my friend Lars in Denmark has just come up with a new word, which I hope will enter the English language. It's called voetry. Yeah, voetry. V-O-E-T-R-Y. And voetry is a combination of video, or viewed, and poetry. Now, it obviously isn't... it would be quite boring if all it meant was, you know, a video of somebody reading a poem. No. This is a piece of video... At least this is what it means in my mind. A piece of video which has the characteristic of a poem. Not the easiest thing to achieve. But I saw one this morning, which he sent me, together with the word voetry. And I realized this is a very talented man. But while I was watching it, I really did feel I was in the grip of a poem. You know the way a poem grabs you? And you kind of want to see how much wriggle room you have within the poem? Yeah, wriggling within a poem. That's an important experience, I think, for a reader and or a listener to have. You need a bit of wriggle room. Like, there's very little wriggle room in my head. Okay, this is in Sylvia Plath's poetry. Very little wriggle room for me. Now, I speak as a plain person's knowledge of Sylvia Plath. I've never studied her. I have read some of her poems. I find them difficult. Difficult because they feel to me to be so cerebral. Whereas I find, you know, the good old... Well, I won't mention Walt Whitman. I'll mention Robert Frost. I mentioned Seamus Heaney. I mentioned Evan Boland. And, of course, the most brilliant living poet today, IMHO. IMHO, in my humble opinion. In fact, everything I ever say anywhere is in my humble opinion. Sometimes I express my opinions in a staccato-like manner. But, you know, and sometimes I've even been known to express my opinion in the form of arpeggios. Yeah. Or rising crescendo or something. Anyway, it's going to rain all weekend, yeah? And it's the celebration of my little young sister's birthday this weekend. Yeah, she was only an infant when she was born. Yeah, she really was. And I was in short trousers and well able to walk. And, says he, beating his breast, take the piss out of the poor little girl when she was very young. Anyway, I've forgiven myself for being cruel and heartless and making fun at her expense. And now that I've forgiven myself, I feel able to go and get forgiveness from her. Because I think the whole idea that you have to go and get forgiveness from the other person before you can forgive yourself is crap. Oh, sorry, is ill-advised. Yes. You see, unless you have realized that there is something you have done which requires forgiveness, you're not going to forgive yourself. You know, that's a basic condition of forgiveness. You must recognize that there's something which needs to be forgiven. Now, we were instructed on how to go through the motions of going to confession when I was a kid. You had to say certain words. You had to behave in a certain way within the confessional, and you had to leave and do certain things. And it felt very much like a ritual, had I learned the words off by heart. Nobody ever said to me that the first requirement of a good confession was that you recognized that you needed to forgive. You needed to forgive yourself because you'd let yourself down. And what's the point of the phrase, to let myself down, if it isn't to make myself vulnerable? I am vulnerable to letting myself down. And that's different from proving myself to be untrustworthy. And again, yesterday I was talking on via Anchor with some people, well, responding to one person's thing and listening to other people's one and responding in my way to theirs about how can you recover trust if you've lost it? How could I recover trust if I've lost it? Well, I think it's almost impossible. In fact, I'd go so far as I'd prefer to say in the paragraph, how can you, you can't. You'll never recover it. Just recognize how important it is to be trustworthy all your life and in every single relationship. Yes, that's vital, because you will not be trusted again. Now, okay, if you go off and for 20 years and do good in the community, and you'll be forgiven for, you know, I don't know, failing to pay your taxes and failing to make a contribution to the local community, and for kind of raping the local community, letting everybody down in the local community, not just by a mistake, but by being untrustworthy. But you have to do 20 years to get trusted again. And probably you'll never be trusted in that area that you've let people down in. You may be trusted in other areas. There was a guy who was involved in the Profumo affair in the UK in the 1960s. His name might come back to me while I'm talking about this. He was disgraced. Poulsen might have been his name. Anyway, he was disgraced. And he was banished from London society. I mean, that sounds very old-fashioned. But basically, he was. So he went up north. This is the story. I know some people in the UK could correct this story if I get anything, but I don't think I get anything vital wrong. Anyway, he went up north and he worked tirelessly on behalf of, I don't know, homeless people, built up terrific, I'll call them housing associations, or did something. I associate him with, you know, some of the fundamental requirements of all human beings, you know, heat, shelter, food. They're probably the basic things that we all need before we need anything else. Oh, we need water as well. Yeah, we'd be no good without water. We need safety somewhere we can be protected. That's what Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's what I think of. I think of that triangle with the base foundation level. So if you're ever with anybody and you want to have really good rapport, you better make sure that they're not hungry, that they're not thirsty, that they feel safe and secure, and also that they have a safe and secure place to go to that night, because otherwise they won't listen to you. Yeah, if they're facing some thing that makes them feel unsafe and all of those things, and never say anything important to somebody who's really, really hungry. And as for somebody who's terribly thirsty, you know, none of your ideas will ever be attended to. Oh, I cackle because I was thinking suddenly of a woman in California. Her name is Nelsha. Doesn't actually matter what her name is, really, except to me, who knows her. But anyway, I said something to her like, how dare you, you cheeky woman. It's as if you had played the last desperate card in your pack or in your hand after what she said to me. And I'd never said anything as directly like that to her. And I meant every single word of it. But she cackled. It cracked her up. And I got a 42-second reply by an anchor of her cracking up. And it was delightful. And that's why I'm smiling here. So look, as I head towards the ocean, as I head towards storms and flogging rain, wish me safety, wish me food, wish me, I'm gone off the pints of Guinness, so wish me pints of water, and give yourself a very big hug. Bye for now. P.S. I listened back to the audio just to check its quality and try to remember what I said at the beginning. And I remembered, it's hat, cheap, suit. And I remembered it because She had a hat and a cheap suit. And she's in the Valley of the Queens and has a magnificent a memorial to her in the Valley of the Queens, which is in Luxor, as the Valley of the Kings and the Valley of the Queens are quite close to each other. Anyway, I'm not going to start another ramble. Bye.